Today's story is one of the most beautiful in all of Scripture, but it also has some pitfalls. It's beautiful because it's another Cinderella-like story where someone who is taunted and put down ends up getting vindicated. It's a beautiful story in which someone prays earnestly for a dream to be fulfilled, and that dream is ultimately fulfilled. But it's also a story with pitfalls, because there are many others who pray just as earnestly, just as fervently, just as sincerely, but yet the fulfillment of their own dreams is ever elusive, and with the passage of time seems less and less likely. In Hannah's case, she was unable to get pregnant, and in the ancient world, that was a huge stigma and a possible sign that something was wrong with Hannah morally. So Hannah prays for a son. She promises to dedicate that son to God. Essentially, the son will grow up with Eli the priest. You know, if only God will answer her prayer. And God does answer her prayer. And Hannah gives birth to a son whom she names Samuel, meaning that God hears. And it's such a beautiful story. But what about others who have been on a journey of infertility and who have prayed just as earnestly, yet their dreams of conceiving a child of their own have been thwarted? Or what about those who long to adopt a child but have faced all kinds of obstacles and hurdles? That's why this story is a hard one as well. And I don't know if what I'm about to say next helps with all the pitfalls and difficulties with this story. But this is something that has changed my own hearing of this story. To me, the most powerful moment in this story is not when Hannah becomes pregnant. It's when she rises up and presents herself before the Lord. After all the taunts she has suffered from Penina, after her husband has failed to show genuine empathy, Hannah gets up. She rises. Until that moment, Hannah always depended on someone else to do her bidding before God. Her husband was the one who would present himself to the Lord on Hannah's behalf. He was the one that during the festival at Shiloh would do all the sacrifices. This was a time when women were not allowed to present themselves for prayers in the temple. But for Hannah, it was time for her to make her own case before God. She was tired of her life the way it was. So she rose. Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. She rises. She gets up, not entirely sure of where she's going. She rises, not knowing if she will ever bear a child or not. She rises, trusting God entirely for whatever it is that will happen next. The title of today's sermon is taken from a famous sermon preached by James Forbes, the senior minister emeritus of New York City's Riverside Church. It's a sermon that he has preached in some form or another maybe 36 times over 30 years. It's probably his signature sermon. We watched a video of that sermon in my introductory preaching class, and it was a masterpiece of biblical storytelling. Now, Forbes got the title of his sermon from verse 9, where Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. It doesn't work if your English translation says Hannah got up, but Hannah rose. And in that sermon, he suggests that a good name for a baby girl would be Hannah Rose. And through the years, people have come up to him and told them that they named their daughter Hannah Rose because of this sermon. One of his granddaughters is named Hannah Rose because his son and daughter-in-law took the hint. Hannah Rose. It's a name for a child. It's the title of a famous sermon. But most importantly, it's what Hannah did. She rose and presented herself before the Lord because she was counting on the fact that God would be faithful. She rose and poured out her soul through her prayers because she needed God to hear them. What lifted Hannah from despair was not the birth of Samuel. I believe that what lifted her from despair was that act of rising, of offering herself in her prayers, of being in relationship with God and trusting God to hear her deepest desires and her deepest hurts. The news that Hannah became pregnant is the epilogue to the story. Hannah's true moment of transformation came when she presented herself before God in prayer. And maybe there is something in your life that is making it difficult for you to feel hopeful. Maybe you aren't known or valued for anything outside of your job or career. Maybe you are fighting a battle with addiction. Maybe you are the one who is always bullied at school. Maybe it feels like the world has left you behind. Maybe you are filled with anxiety about this election, about everything going on in our world at the moment. Whatever it is, there is something that makes it difficult for you to have hope. And instead of feeling hopeful, you feel stuck. And when we feel stuck, it is easy to be cynical and to believe that nothing is ever going to change. It takes courage to imagine that things can be different, that there might be a future filled with hope. And in those moments, we can rise like Hannah and pray our hearts out. Encouraging the life of prayer, the late Frederick Buechner once wrote, "Keep beating the path to God's door. Because the one thing you can be sure of is that down the path you beat, the God you call upon will finally come. And even if God does not bring you the answer you want, God will bring you God's very own self. And maybe at the secret heart of all our prayers, that is what we are really praying for. We find the courage to rise like Hannah because we are a resurrection people. We are an Easter people. You've heard of Christmas in July. Well, think of today as Easter in October. My wife told me that I couldn't wear an Easter bow tie in October, that it wasn't seasonally appropriate. And then I said, but it's part of the sermon. Every other morning, I'm always wise to take her advice. On fashion and everything. But we find the courage to rise because the God we worship through Jesus Christ is always calling new life out of the tombs of our despair. And I'd like to conclude today's sermon by sharing a video clip of James Forbes preaching his famous sermon, Hannah Rose. And so our tech team can start to cue that up. It's about a 5-minute clip. And it's from about 10 years ago, when he was already the pastor emeritus, when he was already retired and he was a guest preacher. And I imagine that several people in that sanctuary had heard the sermon a dozen times. I did get written permission to show this clip during our worship service. And the clip begins with that moment when Hannah rises. And in this clip, you will also see a liturgical dancer playing the role of Hannah. Now listen to Dr. Forbes, but also watch the dancer very closely. Watch for that moment of transformation.
After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. I was concerned, where is Hannah going? I am not so sure even she knew where she was going. But our text says, somehow, she was drawn to the sanctuary, the holy place of worship. And while there, she bowed. And with bitter tears coming down her cheeks, she prayed. She prayed inside of her heart, God, if you would only remember me and not forget me and honor me with the blessing of a child. Give me a son, and if you do it, I'll be careful to bring that son after I wean him back to this place so that he may be a servant in your house. Oh, it was inside she was praying this prayer, and her lips were trembling, and her spirit was clearly in anguish. And because of the trembling of her lips and the anguish of her spirit, Eli assumed that she had drunk too much. Said to her, "Woman, why don't you put away your drinking?" And she said, "Oh, sir, I am not drunk. I'm just pouring out my anguish and vexation before the Lord." And Eli said, "Well, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you the petition you have made to him." And she said, and come to think of it, to whom was she speaking? To Eli? No, I think in his words, she heard a word of promise from God. I think it was to God that she said, "May your servant find favor in your sight." But whatever happened, she took that benediction, not just a perfunctory benediction. She thought that what Eli said was put into his mouth by God, and that God was promising, "I hear your prayer. I'm going to do something about what you have asked. You shall indeed bear and have a child." And what joy filled her soul. In fact, immediately she changed. She was a different woman altogether. And whereas she had been in anguish before, she could dance back in the hall and even say, "Penina, you got any food? I'm ready to eat now." Oh, she was transformed from the depth of despair to the elation of a promise that God has heard your prayer and God is at work even now inside of you.
And you can certainly watch the rest of the sermon on YouTube. It's on their channel. But all glory and praise be to our God. Amen.